Remember the round. I love the spontaneity. I love your liberty, Maggie, to be able to. Don't do that already. I just got here. I can see, like, during just kind of a little personal, it's my daughter, in case you didn't know. Certain times during the worship set, I can hear a crack in her voice, and I can tell she's, like, on the brink of, like, losing it. And I thought, Marty, where are you? Kick in, bro. She might need you to start singing because you might lose it. But I hear that sound. It's just the sound of, you know, the Holy Spirit through my daughter, and it's incredibly encouraging, that sound of just giving self over to the Lord. And it's just it's a sweet sound. I really appreciate, you know, when we're able to just give ourselves over to God and let him just move on us in such a tender way. I feel that way when I've been reading this story of Joseph as well, and it's been so personal to me. Reading about these brothers, reading about Joseph, reading about all of the testing. And today I want to talk to you about this idea of testing. When you read the story of Joseph, there's all kinds of stuff. And if you read it at a surface level, like in Psalms 105 says that God brought a famine on the land, like this 10,000 foot view. He brought a famine on the land and he broke the whole stay and the whole staff of bread. Means he annihilated like the farming system. He annihilated and crushed the economy. So there is no ability to produce food. Too hot, not enough rain, probably a variety of reasons famine came. But he from this 10,000, 100,000 foot view, he brought famine on the land, and he raised up Joseph to be a preserver of life and to deliver his own brothers and family so that they would have life and they would transition from Canaan to Egypt. God must have loved that family, because without them moving to Egypt, there is no Passover. Without them moving to Egypt, there is no the Red Sea swallowing up Egyptian armies. There is none of those stories. There is none of that Passover experience with God delivering them. That's not there. So God moved them to Egypt because that's where the next chapter had to go. And he raised up Joseph to do so. So here we are. We're in about chapter 42. Andy, didn't he do a great job last week talking about forgiveness? And he targeted a subject of forgiveness. So he went to, I believe it was like 45 or so. But I'm going to jump back and we'll be like through 42 through 45-ish, right around there. I'm not going to stick in one chapter. I'm just going to tell a little bit about the story and specifically the ways of God in regards to testing. So the key idea today, and you can throw up that first slide. The key idea today is this concept here. God brings us back. Say that. He brings me back. He brings us back to places that we've avoided or places that we've buried. Can you think of any? He brings us back to places we've avoided or places that we've buried. Not to shame us, but to heal and to transform us. So the famine was not punishment. The famine on the land of Joseph was not punishment. It was an invitation to draw close. You tracking? So Genesis 50:20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. If that is the summary, if that's the big picture, hey, the enemy meant this for evil. You guys meant it for evil, but God meant this thing for good. If that's the summary of the story, then the revelation is found in 42:7, I believe. 42:7? 45:7 is this. It's God, Joseph says this, that God sent me when he revealed himself to his brothers. Gosh, that part of the story is amazing. He's sending them off and going back to get dad, and he just can't take it anymore. And he says, listen, guys, it's me. I am Joseph. I'm your brother. You thought I was dead. You thought I was gone. You thought everything was over. You had no idea, but I want you to know I'm Joseph, as he's peeling off, wiping makeup, Egyptian makeup off, and peeling off his robe to try to say, no, it's me. And these dudes are like, is this a ghost? What's the deal? But my brother, he was dead and now he's alive. Can you feel that? Those moments, these guys were going to Egypt and they were going to hang on to their sin that they murdered their brother. And they didn't plan on doing anything about it. It's like dragging a boat anchor. They're just heading to Egypt, man, pulling this anchor, right? Have no idea. Oh, I've been doing this for 30 years. I didn't realize I didn't have to carry that thing. Is there anything you're carrying? Is there any weight you carry around? Any regrets? Any fear? Any brokenness? Any bad decisions? If it is, if you have them, you're in good company. Because I'm one of you, right? I am Joseph as well. Say that with me. I am Joseph. I am Joseph. The Lord used a man to change a famine. God sent me to preserve you guys. He's sending this moment to these guys, and he's saying, listen, I'm Joseph. God sent me to preserve you and to deliver you, and I love this thing. He says, is my dad alive? I mean, first thing, let's get right to business. I need a father. We need a father. You know, we need authority in our lives. Whether this culture has misrepresented fathers, or we've made mistakes, or this whole authority thing has been a mess. We look everywhere we go and it's a mess. There's a poor representation of God on the earth today. There's a poor representation of God as a father today. But Joseph says, is my father alive? Is there any good, healthy leadership? Is there something worth shaping and transitioning and transforming our lives by? Is there something there? Is my father alive? But he said, I came about here to preserve life and to deliver you guys. I love that. So bottom line is this, God will revisit what we didn't resolve. Not to condemn us, but to redeem us. Reface something. Reface something in order to rewrite something. See, it's so easy to go, have you ever been in, like, you roll into a party, you roll into a friend's house, and you go, oh, you're here. You know what I mean? It's like, if I would have known you were going to be here, I wouldn't have come. Gosh, I mean, we have that kind of stuff, don't we? I do. I got a few. None of you in the room, though. None of you. You're all good to go. You're not in that list. But I've got a list. Has anybody else got a list? I got a couple honest people in the room. The rest is like, do not call me out. Don't do that. This is where the story begins, and it really begins to feel personal. It's the famine that forces the return. So in Genesis 42, read with me here. I'm only going to read a few verses. Genesis 42. 1-5. Now Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, and Jacob said to his sons, why are you staring at each other? He said, behold, have you heard that there is grain in Egypt? So go down there and buy some for us from that place so that we may live and not die. The 10 brothers of Joseph went down to buy grain, and Benjamin stays home, and Joseph obviously is gone, totaling 12. But Jacob did not send his brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, I am afraid that harm may befall him. So the sons of Israel came to buy grain among those who were already traveling, for the famine was in the land of Canaan also. It just tells you how spread out this was. And there was a caravan of people already traveling. So the brothers' reality is this: they never planned to face their sin. They did their dirty deed and they stuffed it, and here we are. What we're rolling on almost 30 years later, and these guys have a murder on their conscience. Didn't do anything about it. blindly going to Egypt to buy grain. Dad's toxic. He's got toxic emotion. He's broken. I'm not sending Benjamin because I'm afraid something's going to happen to him, just like what happened to Joseph. That tells you he's still got bitter pain. All these years later, this trouble is still boiling inside of him. Unhealed, unforgiven, all of these things. They had moved on, the brothers did, but they weren't healed. Did you know you can move forward and not be healed? Just because you grow old doesn't mean you... Gosh, you people are awesome. See, if you repeat something over and over, now what's the vision statement? Come on. I love you anyways. The famine forces them to return to the place of wounding. See, God sometimes allows circumstances to press us into conversations, into memories, and wounds that we tried to avoid. God will open the door and say, let's talk about it. I know we haven't talked about this in a long time, and I know you think it's all better, but let's talk about it now. See, you can run from your past, but your past will always run faster until healing happens. You know? If you look at this, in Exodus chapter 2, you got a story of Moses was born, picked up by Pharaoh's household, raised in the household of Pharaoh. Fast forward a little bit, it does in chapter 2 of Exodus, that he sees some dude talking smack to another Jewish slave, and Moses is going to intervene. He ends up smoking this dude and killing him and burying him in the dirt. This is Moses, right? Kills him, bails. Pharaoh finds out, the house finds out, and Moses is on the run. He runs, and so he goes on, and he's on the backside of the mountain, and it's over now, and he's walking about, and he sees a bush on fire. And the Lord just begins to speak to him. And what does the Lord do? Sends him back to Egypt. Are you guys talking about this recently?
No, I said. I said the bush said, let's talk about
this. Oh, yeah, let's talk about this. You know that thing, right? That thing in the sand you buried? Let's have a conversation. You're like, oh, I didn't know he would be here. I didn't know that body was going to be present. I thought, you know. He called him back to a nation he fled, to a family he left, into an identity that he buried. Moses didn't go back because God wanted to expose him. God sent him back because Israel's freedom was connected to Moses' healing. Get it. Get a hold of that. Israel's freedom was connected to Moses' healing. Who does God want to heal through your freedom? What does God want to do with your story? That thing that you may have buried, that thing that you may be hiding, that thing that you just don't know what to do, it's like an elephant in the room. I don't know what to do with. What if that was healed? What would it look like? And I'm not preaching to the choir. Is that how that phrase goes? I'm not preaching to the choir here. You guys know, I don't even know if I'm saying that right now. I'm just saying I'm guilty too. How's that? Easy enough. I've got stories that I need to rewrite, and I don't know how to rewrite them. I've got hurt in my life right now that I don't know how to rewrite it. I don't know how to fix it. It's not because I don't want to, but I got to wait on God in order for him to flip the script because I don't know what to do. I've got raw pain, real pain right now in my life, like some of you do. And I don't know how to rewrite it. I pray often. As a matter of fact, when I take communion, I'll invite some of these people to my communion table this day and say, Lord, heal me. I got to be right with this individual, but I can't. I don't know how. This individual may not want to make it right with me, and there's evidence that they don't. But I want to be right with you, and I know how it could be. What if God healed me of some of these things? What would that do? Just a question. That's really my question. You guys can answer it for yourself. As far as you want, you can go. God revisits the past not to punish, but to redeem and to transform. So what famine in your life is God using to call you back to a conversation that you haven't finished? You can hang on, Maggie. I'll call you when it's time. My time's up already. But I got stuff to say, man. You got any famines in your life? You got any famines in your life? What kind of famines can we possibly have? Maybe a relational famine? Some conflict relationally? That seems to be the most common one. Relational famine. Emotional famine, numbness, anxiety, financial famines, spiritual famine. Like I quoted from early on in Samuel, it says there was a famine in the land. The word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions in the land. Identity famine. I can't seem to get the word right. Purpose famine. Family famine. Moral and integrity famine. There's so much. See, Joseph's tests weren't punishment, but they were mercy. 7 through 17 says this. When Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he disguised himself. And he begins to question them. Where have you come from? You're spies. We covered this a couple of weeks ago. You're spies. So he began to test them. And Andy mentioned how these tests were just kind of crazy. You know, he's saying you're spies. Joseph knows they're not spies, but he's running these tests. Here's the point of my message. I want you to know that God tests us for purposes. He tests us to draw us out. He calls us to do something. He calls us to see how we're going to respond. And these guys were tested with money. They were tested with honesty. They were tested with when they would come back and bring their little brother. There was all these tests. And after they came back, they sent him on and put the cup inside little bro's backpack. And he tested them with that whole thing. See, there's such a parallel with the cup and with Joseph's life. With Joseph, they threw him in the pit. With the cup, they got Benjamin and took him back. There's a parallel. See, that cup in an Egyptian culture and in that culture was a very specific thing of spiritual authority. A silver cup to Joseph was spiritual authority and had everything to do with identity. So Joseph, like, put Joseph in Benjamin's backpack. It was something very symbolic and very important that he was doing to bring that back and to bring that up and to surface that whole thing. But God tests us over and over again. But he's not testing to humiliate. He's not testing to expose or even to make them afraid. He tests them for these purposes, to reveal what's hidden. He'll bring us to a point, test us to reveal what's hidden, to surface what has been repressed, and to create space for repentance and transformation. It's pretty cool that God uses testing as a diagnostic tool. He uses testing like a diagnostic tool. It doesn't create what's in the heart, it just simply reveals what's there. That's what he does with us. So he'll put us in awkward and difficult situations to see how we're running. He'll put us in a situation and turn the heat up a little bit. Is there any areas in your life you feel like the heat's getting, it's getting hot in here? Is there anything in your life that feels a little hot? That feels like God's drawing something out? Is there a famine of sorts in your life? You're going, God, I want this thing to end, but you've called, wow, 7 and 7, 14 years, famine and feast, right? Or feast and famine. There's a process that's got to be walked out and experienced, resolved. I'll skip the story, but there's a guy by the name of Chad Williams, who was a Navy SEAL, wrote a book called The Seal of God. Such a good good story. I've read through a lot of the summary of it. I've not got to read. I just figured it out recently. But he becomes a SEAL to escape the pain. He becomes a Navy SEAL to drive out of all this stuff. And as he becomes a SEAL, after he comes back from battle, then he realizes there's all kinds of stuff inside of him that's unresolved. Just because he achieved and became what he was after, that didn't release him from the trouble and the struggle that's inside of him. God's serious about calling us out, and he'll put us in situations that test us. He tests our mettle. He tests us, and he brings us to that whole reality. He tests us because he intends. He tests us in areas that he intends to heal us. That's what he's doing. He's going after healing. Questions that you could ask yourself is, what are you testing in me? What areas are you testing in me? What inside of me needs to be healed? What kind of weight is it that you want me to carry? Because you can't carry what God's calling you into if you haven't responded appropriately to the test that he's revealing what was previous to you. He's looking to bring stuff out because he has a plan for you. Hear me. He's a good father. He doesn't test you to harm you. He tests you to heal you because he wants to give you more than what you currently have. When I meet with people, I hear often, man, I'm not getting to the mark. I want to go further. I want to get beyond where I'm at and achieve something I haven't achieved yet. And I don't know how to get there. And the Lord uses these opportunities in us, failed jobs, failed relationships, failed finances, in debt, in sin, all of these things. And we go, I don't know how to get there. And the Lord's wanting to test us so he can heal us and find the way on, because he wants to give us something more than what we currently have. Is that making any sense to you? I'm either hitting it right on the head and you're all like, dude, stop talking. You had me at hello. Or you're, I don't know. What's God doing in you? What's God doing in you? What is he calling you to? What is he calling in you? God uses these transformation, uses that. You can see Judah's life transformation. When it comes down to, they find the silver cup in Benjamin's bag. They take everybody back to Egypt. And Judah can't face his dad without Benjamin with him. So he goes to Joseph and he tells the story. Listen, we had a brother and we didn't do right by him, and this is all bad. My dad's sick, and if I come back without Benjamin, my dad's literally going to die of a broken heart. And Joseph can't handle it anymore. That's the point. And he's like, take my life. Judah says this, take my life instead of the boy. I'll give my life up as your slave. Judah was the one who decided, let's harm him. Let's harm Joseph. Now Judah's the one who says, take my life. You see him as a substitutionary for what happened before. You, what you see there is the results of a test. Transformation is the result of a good test. That's what Joseph wanted to know. Is some real transformation happening? He puts money in their bags. He puts a cup in there. And he wants to see if they'll pass the test, because he knows we're all going to move to Egypt. This thing's got to move forward. It's not about Joseph being king. It's about Joseph just playing the role that he's called to play. He's not better than them. Their sheaves, although bowed down to his sheaves, he couldn't accomplish what he's called to do without the brothers. See, God's called us in community. We can't do it alone. We need to walk this thing out together. But Judah steps up and says, take me instead. Whereas before he said, let's sell Joseph. Now he says, take me instead. This is the first time in the Bible we see a human offering substitutionary love for the father. He gives himself up fully. But that's the thing. You can't find true freedom. Repentance has got to be more than just reprieve and more than just tears. True repentance is transformation. And that's what Joseph was doing. He was looking for real transformation, and he got it in that moment. There's real transformation here. So God uses these things like famine to call us into the furtherance of our maturity. God will use hard things to call us into good things, right? He uses adversity like currency, and he'll spend it for your maturity. Over and over again, you see that the Lord uses adversity in our lives. But if we're trying to do this to adversity, if I got adversity in my life, I'm not blessed. If I got trouble in my life, I'm not blessed. I wish you would flip that script, because you're all followers of Jesus. If you've got trouble in your life, that means there's something that God's calling you to that's greater than where you're currently at. Anybody with trouble in your life? A couple of you? Let's see it. Anybody with trouble in your life? Come on. Jesus, would you come? Stand with me. Jesus, would you come and heal us? Lord, would you come? And we say, Father, we don't understand these tests. At times, there's so much difficulty in it, so much pain in it. But you're a good Father. So the equation is this, that you must be doing something good to call me into such weight. So Holy Spirit, would you come and just settle on us right now? We yield, Father. If we see any famine in our lives, we yield. If we comprehend any testing in our lives, we yield. Father, we say, would you come and transform us? Use us to carry what it is that you want to carry. Want us to carry. I want you just to settle in for just a moment here. Let the music just begin to wash over you. Just engage for just a minute here. I know I've kept you a little bit.